Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Mem Dalet. We are holding on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the second to last skinny line on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, Ki Asa Rav Dimi. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha LaShalom. It's also sponsored by Gabriel and Elisa Sazne, in honor of the birth of their granddaughter, Rachel, to Eitan and Dina Sazne, with eternal gratitude, Takarosh Baruch Hu, Mazel Tov to the Sazne family. They should be zochet to see their granddaughter raised, and we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we are going to finish up today first is we're going to discuss the last of the three statements of Rav Dimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shmuel ben Elazar ben Yaakov. Then we're going to get into all four statements of various Kezeirus Rabbanan that were taught by Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And then the Gemara is going to discuss the Tumah status on the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the Tumah status of Dalet Amos that are around the Kever, and under what circumstances those Dalet Amos are considered to be like a Kever, and the Chatzer a Kever that's near the Kever as well. Then the Gemara is going to have four explanations of a Pasuk in Mishle, and one of those explanations is going to be about how one should arrange their life in terms of getting all the ducks in a row in order to have a fully fulfilled, job and a wife and a house and everything. So what comes in what order? And the other three explanations are going to be about Talmud Torah. They're going to be about the arrangement of one's life as far as learning goes. Then we're going to have the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, which is going to talk about three different opinions of what is considered Yarei V'Rach HaLevav, because that's one of the people that the Torah says goes back from Milchama. So who is a Yarei? Who qualifies as a Yarei V'Rach HaLevav? The Mishnah is also going to tell us how there were officers in the front and there were guards in the back of any troop of soldiers that was going out, and what the job was of the guards in the back of the army. And that discussion, the Gemara's elaboration of that Mishnah, is going to take us to the end of the 8th parak, and then Be'ez Hashem later we'll begin at the end of the daf, we begin the 9th parak of Maseches Sota, and the 9th parak is the final parak of Maseches Sota, and that is parak Egla Arufa. And the Mishnah is going to talk about how many members of the Sanhedrin are involved in the Egla Arufa procedure, and we're going to talk about some cases where we don't do an Egla Arufa procedure. Then the Gemara is going to have a limud from Sukkim on the number of Dayanim that are needed for Egla Arufa, meaning the numbers that we mention in the Mishnah are not just Stam, it's obviously that's based on something. So we're going to show the Psukim upon which we base those numbers. So let's begin. Ki Asa Rav Dimi Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishmuel Elazar ben Yaakov. Meis Tofes Arba Amos L'Kriya Shema. The four Amos around the mace, you're not allowed to read Kriya Shema in that area. Not only not allowed to read Kriya Shema, you're not allowed to daven there, you're not allowed to go with Tefillin, you're not allowed to go with Sefer Torah Bezroo. That's what the Meiri points out. This is based on Brachos Daf Yud Ches. It's Pharisee writes, the reason we dafka pick Kriya Shema is to tell us that Kriya Shema is the only one of those mitzvos that has a zman. It has a sof zman. So even though the zman Kriya Shema is going to pass if you don't say Kriya Shema right now, but there's a mace right here in front of you. So what are you supposed to do? What you're supposed to do is you miss the zman, that a person is not allowed to say Kriya Shema in the presence of a mace. Why? Because the pasuk in Mishlei says, Loig l'rash cheref osehu. Someone who mocks, someone who's impoverished, it's as if he's saying that Hashem didn't make him poor like the other guy. It's that it's your own fault that you're poor. So too, when someone says Kriya Shema in proximity to a mace, it's as if he's mocking the mace, that look, I'm able to say Kriya Shema and you're not able to say Kriya Shema. Implicit in the, whenever you have a mashal and an imshal, so both are true, right? Meaning it's only a good mashal if the mashal is true also. And the mashal is that when someone is poor, you don't say, well, it's your fault that you're poor. Maybe if you would have done this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides who's rich and who's poor. So there are people that aren't so smart and that didn't do it and somehow have lots and lots of money, and there are people that did everything right and somehow are still impoverished. You don't make fun of an impoverished person. That it's your fault in some way. So too over here, you have a person. It's not his fault that he's dead. You don't mock him by doing mitzvos in front of him. And that's certainly the halacha when it comes to in a beis hakfaros, we talk our tzitzis in things of that nature. In fact, Tosos Maseches Nida says that it's only shaykh Shaychlog L'Rosh by Tzitzis and not by other mitzvos, because Tzitzis is Shkula Keneged Kola Mitzvos. So Tzitzis is a unique kind of mitzvah in that it's Shkula Keneged Kola Mitzvos. This Gemara seems to be against that, right? Because the Gemara is clear that it's about Kriya Shema, that within Dal Rambam, so the Mason, now that I read Kriya Shema. There is a halacha in Maseches Moed Katan where the Gemara tells us not only are you not allowed to read Kriya Shema or wear tzitzis or tefillin in front of a mace, you're not allowed to eat in front of a mace. But that's and that appears in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara goes through a whole hierarchy of behaviors. That the best thing to do is go to a different bias. If you can't have a different bias, then build a mechitza. If you can't have a mechitza, then at least turn away from the mace if you have to eat. So clearly, we try very hard to avoid eating in front of a mace. But the Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Aninos have a machlokas. Why? Why is it that you're not allowed to eat in front of a mace? So one opinion is this, that it's loig l'rosh. The mace is unable to eat, and you're eating, and you're indulging, you're enjoying yourself. Obviously, an onen is not allowed to eat basar v'yayin, but anything, even just a tuna fish sandwich in front of the mace. The other opinion is, no, it's got nothing to do with loig l'rosh. Loig l'rosh is about mitzvos. He doesn't care that he can't eat a tuna fish sandwich. Whatever he's enjoying in Gan Eden is better than a tuna fish sandwich. So it's not about that. It's about mitzvos. That hayom la'sosim l'machar l'kabel scharam. No, the reason you're not allowed to eat in front of a mace is that what bizyonos, you're supposed to be taking care of the mace. And instead of taking care of the mace, you're taking care of yourself. So it's an open bizoya mace. Nafkamina would be who the yisr applies to. What if it's a member of the Chavar Kadisha who's just watching the mace and, voluntarily, or someone who just happens to be around in that room, but he's not a karov, it's not his mace to take care of, it's not his responsibility, whereas a karov, it's his responsibility. So if it's an issue of loy grosh has nothing to do with whether you're a karov or not, that's for everybody. But if it's about your responsibility to take care of the mace, then that's only for krovim. Then nafkamina would be for Shabbos, where there's nothing to do for the mace on Shabbos. So if it's about loig l'rosh, then even on Shabbos the yisur of achil lefnei mace would apply. But if it's about being mevaz of the mace, so then it would not apply on Shabbos, since there's nothing you should be doing for him anyway at that time. Rav Shechter told us that when his father was sick and he was on a feeding tube or something, he was on an IV in a feeding tube, he wouldn't eat in the hospital room. He said, at the very least, you see that it's loig l'rosh. If a person is unable to do something and you're going and you're indulging yourself doing that right in front of his face. So he said he didn't think it was proper. He thought that, according to the opinion, that's loig l'rosh. If it's true of a mace, kal v'chomer, it's true of a living person who's unable to do those things. Anyway, so once the Gemara brings this Memra of Rabbi Yochanan, the Memra of Blas Ben Yaakov, so the Gemara is going to bring four Memros of Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Churgisa, a stepdaughter, Hagdela ben Achan, that grows up among the brothers who are not her brothers, they're stepbrothers to her, Asur Linasilachan, is not allowed to marry any of those stepbrothers, Demischazi Kiachtayu, because it's a Marasayan. Everyone's going to think that he married his sister, and that's going to look very strange, and very Asur, so Velohi. But says Gemara, we don't have to be Choshish for that, because Kala Islay the Milsa. Everyone's going to know about it. It's strange enough that everyone will talk about that too. So, and they'll fill in all the details. So you don't have to worry that people are going to think that you're doing an Isser. V'am Rabbi Yitzchak, v'am Rabbi Yochum, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, leket shechupeya sha'asa'an begoren hukvu l'maiser. That if an ani collects so much, leket shechupeya, that he can make a whole goren, he can make a whole silo out of it, so then it's hukvu l'maiser. Even though matnos aniyim typically are not chayiv in shumas maisros, but once you have so much, it looks like you have your own field, and it looks like you're dealing with your own produce. So then you have to take maestros. Midrabanan, it's chayvin maestro, because someone who sees it is going to say, oh, he probably grew this in his own field. He's not going to think that such a massive amount came from hefker. So amar ula lo amaran ela basada. The idea that matnos aniyim, that you are a son, begorim, become chayvin maestros, is only if you make the kri in the field, where people are going to say that kan gadlu, that it must have grown over here. Avol bi'ir, but if you make it out in the city, where you take from the field, a little bit from this field, a little bit from that field, and you bring it home, and once you've amassed a certain amount in your home, so then you have a big pile, so then you're not chayv maishos even midraban, because kol ilsa milsa, everyone realizes that you've been collecting for such a long time, you take a little bit here, and every a little bit there, and no one's going to think that you grew it yourself. Third statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochum, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochum, Yishum, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Yalda pchusa mitefach. If you have a small a sapling of a grapevine that's smaller than a tefach, that's lower than a tefach, ein mekadeshes es hazra'im. It does not aser the neighboring zra'im in kilei akerem. Normally, if a vine is growing near other zra'im, so it makes it aser bahana, and it's kilei akerem. But if the vine is such a tiny little vine, it's pachas mitefach, then it's not going to aser bahana the neighboring grains. V'hani mili, the idea that it's not going to aser the zra'im is only shtayim k'neg shtayim achzios zanav, is if it's it's the bare minimum definition of a vineyard of two gefanim on one side, two gefanim on the other side, and one gef and one vine right behind it. Aval kule kerem makdish. But if you have an entire vineyard, a large vineyard full of these tiny little vines, then it's going to be makdish. It's going to aser bahana'a the zra'im that are nearby as kilei kerem, because a large kerem, it's already a large kerem, and the chamor goes there in such a case that even though they're very tiny, they're going to be able to aser things as kilei kerem. And then final, the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Meis tofes arba amos lutuma. Anyone who goes within dalet amos of a meis is tamei midrabanan. This was a gezeira midrabanan, so that ochle taharos will not get too close to a meis, because then we have to be choshesh that they're going to stretch out their arm and they're going to be mayil over the meis, and they're not going to realize, and they're going to become tamei midoraisa. So if you stay four amos away, so now we know you're not going to ever actually, even by accident, even inadvertently, be metame to a mace. V'tana tuna, and the Tana of the Mishnah says this, because there's a Mishnah, Masechas Ha'olos, Perek Tes Vav, where it says, chatzar akever, the chatzar that you go into, that you use to enter into the ma'aros, the caves where they have kvarim. It used to be that kvarim were not typically just an open field, an open area where, you know, like we have by our cemeteries, where, you know, on a cold day, it is the coldest place on earth, and on a hot day it's the hottest place on earth, because it's just a wide open area. No, it used to be that it was like it was inside of a cave that they would bury people. So there was a chatzar area through which you entered into the cave where they have all of the mason buried. So Omid Betocha, someone who stands inside of it, wherever he is, Tahar, he's Tahar, even though he's right near a kever, because the chamor only goes to Dalet Amos when it's Munach Ba'avir, when it's out in the open, so that you don't accidentally be ma'ahil. But if there's like a wall in between where you and the kever are, you're not going to accidentally be ma'ahil. You'd have to get through the wall in order to accidentally be ma'ahil. But that's only if that chatzar is 4 amos by 4 amos to Beis Shammai. That's what Beis Shammai says, that's considered a makom chashuv, that it's cholik rishus bifnei atzmo, but less than that is not considered a chatzar. Beis Hillel omrim arba otfachim. Beis Hillel says, no, you look in Ilcha Shabbos, what's considered a makom chashuv for Akira, for Anacha, you don't need dalet amos, dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim is good enough for something to be a makom chashuv. Then says Beis Hillel, bamed var mamurim. When do we say that it's good enough for a chatzar to have dalet tfachim in order for it to be considered a rishus liatzma? That's only shepischa milamayla. That's if the entrance of the chatzar is milamayla, and you come down into the chatzar and you come out like through a ladder or whatever. Aval pischa min atzad. But if the pesach of the chatzar is on the side, and there's just an incline or steps that you go in and out, then divrei hakol arba amos. And everyone would agree that it needs to be arba amos in order to save you from the tumah. So frak the Gemara, why is that logical? In fact, that's the opposite of logic. Klape laya. What direction are you talking in? You're going in the wrong direction. Adraba, I would have said the opposite. Minatzad midrid v'nafik. When it's from minatzad, so you could go out through the steps, and you can and you'll be far away from the ma'ara. You don't have to worry about being ma'il on the kvarim. But mila ma'ilo, when you have to jump out from the top, eifshar d'lo ma'il, you're gonna be you're flailing, and your arms are gonna be reaching one way or the other, and your beged is gonna come out, and it's gonna be ma'il on the kever. It's much more difficult not to be ma'il on the kever. So says Gemara, you're right. Let's flip that around. Bamed varmamurum. When do we say that it's good enough to have dalit fachim? That's shepischa min atzad. That's when there's easy access to go in and out, and therefore you'll be more misudar, and you're not going to end up being mail on anything. Aval pischa min lemaila. But if the pesach is min lemaila, where you're gonna have to be kofetz and you're gonna have to jump up and grab and whatever, so then arba amos. Then we're only comfortable if it's an area of dalit amos, so that you're safe not to be ma'ahil on anything. V'hani mili d'mesayma mechitzasa. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that someone who's right near a kever becomes tamei is only by chatzar a kever d'mesayma mechitzasa. The mechitzos are very clear to separate him from the kever, so there's no chashing to be ma'ahil, and that's why the chatzar a kever is okay, even though you're within dalet amos. Aval meis bialma. But if you have a dead body in an open area where there's a real chashash that you can be ma'ahil, then toughest. Then the arba amos around him is going to be tamei as well, and anyone who goes within those dalet amos becomes tamei on a drabbanan level. Because if a mace were not to be metamei, the area in his immediate surroundings, why would the Tana say that dafka if you're omid b'tol chatzar, the kever is tahar? So it must be that when you're omid b'tol chatzar, that's a different story because you have mechitzos that are mafsik, but if you're not within a chatzar, you're just out in the open, so within dalet amos of the mace, you're already becoming tamei. Good, now we go back to the discussion of the Mishuach Melchama. So the Shotrim say to the people who are going out to war, Mia Isha Sher Eres Isha, who got engaged, who had Eresin, and was Ulal Lakacha, so he should be Yelech V'yashav L'Beiso. So Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa tells us, it says in the Pasuk, Asher Eres Isha V'lal Lakacha Yelech V'yashav L'Beiso, Echad Amaris Isha Besula, that means whether you're Ma'aris Isha Besula, a girl has never been married, V'echad Amaris Isha Almana, or whether it's a girl who's an Almana, V'echad Shemaris Yavam, or whether she was married to your brother, and the brother died, so v'afilu chamisha achin u'meisachonem b'melchama kulan chozrin. And even if there are five brothers and one of them died b'melchama rachman al-tzlan without any children, so all of the surviving brothers who are eligible to do the yibum, even though only one of them will actually potentially do the yibum, they're all going to be part of it. They all go back from Yerucha Melchama. So v'lo lakach v'lo lakacha. Pasuk could have said lo lakach, but it says lo lakacha. Sounds like a miut, that only if you didn't marry this woman, you're chozer Yerucha Melchama. But it sounds like there are other women that if you're ma'ares v'lo lakach, that you would not be exempt from war. So prat l'alman l'kohen gadol, prush of a chalutzul l'kohen hediot, mamzer sinasin l'Yisrael, basisol l'mamzer l'nasin. That's if it's a forbidden marriage, right? If one has a marriage that is forbidden, that's an iser, probably midarais, although chalutza l'koin edot is midrabanan, so then you're not going to be chozer me'orcha melchama. So lema delok Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that seems to be against Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Why? Di Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because if you're going to assume like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you have to ask the question, why if one is ma'aris, a woman who's asura to him, should he not go back from war? Ha'amar, ha'yari v'rachalevav, zeh, ha'misyari me'averul shebiyado. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, you have a different exemption. Forget about the exemption that you got married, you have an exemption of Yarei V'rachalevav. Yarei V'rachalevav, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, doesn't mean that you're faint-hearted. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Yarei V'rachalevav means that you know you've done an Avera, and therefore you're going to be punished for that Avera, so you're afraid to fight a war having this Avera on your head. So if a person was involved in one of these forbidden marriages, he's a Yarei V'rachalevav, and he's exempt for that reason. So says Marna, Filu Tema Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We could even assume, like we're going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kidderabba, Dam Rabba, Liolameinu Chayiv Atshe Yivol, that a person is only Chayiv, a Kohen who's Mekadish Grusha, is only Chayiv when he's Boel the Grusha. Matam, why is it that the Torah says by an Almana Grusha, Lo Yikach, that you're not allowed to get married? Mishum, V'lo yichalel. It's because the next pasuk says V'lo yichalel zaro bi'amav. So that we learn from there that only if the marriage is done in such a way that it's mechalel the isha or the zera from kedushas kuhuna, is there an avera in kedushin. But when it's not going to be mechalel the zera, then there's no iser. So mishumachi and aloka at sheyivel, and therefore you don't get malchus for just the erusin alone, unless you are boel. That only then does a woman become mechalel lekuna. So therefore, if a person is ma'aris, a woman who's asura to him, he doesn't go back for more, even according to Rabbi Yossi Aglila, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, based on that he's Yari Me'aver Shabiyado. He didn't do any Isser yet. He only did an Isser if he was Boel her. So that's why I need a pasuk to tell me, and he also doesn't have the exemption of being married, of having just gotten married, because if the marriage was the kind of marriage that would lead to this iser to halalus, then even if you haven't been boel yet, so it's not an avera shabiyado yet. Even if you haven't been boel yet, so you're still chozer me'aruch hamulchama. So Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa that says as follows: the asher bana. The pasuk says that anyone who built a house, and then it says asher nata, or planted a kerem, then it says asher eres. So from the fact that it has it in that order, building the house, planting a kerem, being ma'aris in isha, so limda Torah derech eretz, the Torah is teaching us something about the way a person is supposed to run his life. Sheivna adam bayis, that a person should first build himself a house, make sure that he has a place to live. V'yita kerem, then he should take care of his parnasa. He should make sure that he has a job, he should make sure that he has a kerem. V'achar kach yisi isha, and then he's ready to get married. Right? A lot of times a bachur will come over and say, how do I know if I'm ready to start dating? So the real answer should be, well, do you have a home? Do you have a job? Do you have an ability to support your wife? Okay, it's not such a yeshivish answer, so we don't go with that anymore. But that's the that's technically the way it should have been. The Av Shlomo Amar B'Chachmaso, and Shlomo Melech says in his great Chachma in Sefer Mishlei. It's interesting that we call that Chachmaso because the Maseches Yadayim. There's machlokas where the Koheles is metameyas yadayim. Was it Baruch HaKodesh or is it only Chachmaso Shel Shlomo that Koheles? But by Mishlei, there's no machlokas. Mishlei is not just Chachmaso Shel Shlomo. Mishlei is for sure Baruch HaKodesh. So that's a little bit of a tzarchi and why we call it Shlomo Melch Amar B'Chachmaso. No, Shlomo Melch Amar Baruch Kodesho in Sefer Mishlei. But anyway, he says Hachin Bachutz Melachtecha Ve'atida Basadalach. So we explain the pasuk. Hachein b'chutz melachtecha zebayis. That means you plant a you build a house. V'at da basadalach zekerem. Then you plant your kerem. Acharu v'nisa beisecha. That zo isha. That's a reference to isha. That's a reference to getting married, which is interesting because banisa beisecha does not mean bayis, right? Meaning banisa beisecha is beso zu ishto, as we have in many places in Shas that beso zu Ishtar, the Shabbos of Kuf Yud Ches. So here as well, that's what we assume it's referring to. Dover Acher, another interpretation of the pasuk is Hachein b'chutz melachtecha. Nothing to do with how you run your life. It's how you run your learning. Zeh Mikra, that means to learn Tanakh. Va'itida basadalach zeh Mishnah. Then you shall learn Mishnayis, which has all the lachos psukos. Acher v'nisa v'secha zeh Gemara. Then you're able to get involved in learning Gemara, the svaros, and understanding the back and forth and the shakla vitaria, and to understand how we paskin based on the underlying logic of each of the positions. So the Marsha points out that we compare Esek HaTorah to building a house, that you need to do all of the achanos until you get from the tafel to the ikr to the tachlis to the purpose, and that's why it says first to learn mikra, because that's the hachana to learning Mishnayis, and then you learn Mishnah, which is the hachana to learning Talmud, which is the ikr. The Gemara says that in Bamitzia, that if someone is osik b'mikra, it's midah ve'ena midah. If he's osik b'mishnah, it's midah v'notan la'asachar. B'talmud in l'chamidah gedol mizu, meaning the ultimate in learning is certainly Talmud, and that's the goal. But just like when you build a house, it needs to be a foundation, and then you put up the frame, and then you put, so there's got to be a seder advar, and you can't get, but the ultimate goal is to actually have a livable house where you have everything that you need that you're going to benefit from. You just can't get there's a way to get there, and if you don't get to that goal, you're an amaretz, right? That's what we had back on Daf Chav Beis, that someone who's kara v'shana v'loshimish tamidacham means never learned gemara. So if he's kara v'shana never learned gemara, v'loshimish tamidacham, we said he's an amaretz and he's a min and he's I don't know, we had all sorts of lovely things to say about such a person, but the point is that he hasn't accomplished what he set out to accomplish. So So there is a Seder Advarim in learning as well, that a lot of times people have the attitude, as long as I'm learning, so I'm doing the right thing. It doesn't matter what I'm learning, it doesn't matter how I'm learning, it doesn't matter. But a person really is supposed to be more thoughtful in terms of his approach to learning. Like, how am I going to accomplish in learning? How am I going to get from point A to point B? Davar Acher, another interpretation, Achein b'chutz melachtecha, ze mikra u'mishneh, ve'atzta b'sadalach, ze gemara. Oh, so then we have a free phrase at the end of the pasuk, Achar v'nisa v'esecha, elu masim tovim, that leads you to masim tovim, that you do mitzvos once you learn, because if you learn, you know what's asur, what's mutter, what you're supposed to be doing, what you're not allowed to be doing, so the masim tovim result from the learning. Rabbi Eliezer ben Oshel, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer, Achein b'chutz melachtecha, ze mikra u'mishneh, u gemara. In that one phrase, we have Mikra Mishnah and Gemara. Ve'atza b'sadalach, elu masim tovim, and achar v'nisa b'secha, drosh v'kabel schar, is to go and teach Torah, to let it be known to other people, and get schar for that. Ve'elu shein chozrin. And then the Mishnah went on to say, and the following people don't go back from Erochei Melchama, Habon Beis Shar, right? Someone who built something that's not really a place of residence, or even a storage facility, just like a guard booth or something like that. And we said that Rabbi Yehuda had said that even if you're Bona Bayis Al Mechono, you wouldn't be Choser, that if the same house fell down and you rebuild it, you're not Choser. So Tana Imhosipo Dimos Echad, but if you add something new to the house, a new row of bricks, then Choser. Then you do go back from Erochei Melchama, even though it's replacing the old house, but it's now that you replaced the old house, you didn't just rebuild it as it was, you built something new, so then you'd be Chozer Me'Erochei Melchama. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Af Abonim Beis Levenim Basharon Lo HaYechozer, that even if a person built a brick house in Sharon, he wouldn't go back. So Tana Mimnei Shemechad Shnosop HaMayim B'Shavua, because you need to rebuild it twice every 7 years, meaning apparently in Sharon it didn't lend itself, the ground or something, the atmosphere, something didn't lend itself to building brick houses, and the houses would fall apart. I got a voice note from Shamshi Shlafrak, our old friend, and he said that this explains the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim, that what part of the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim, it sounds so strange when you listen to it. It says that he's mispalel al anshei sharon shaloye bateyem kivrehem. Anshei Asharon shloim bateim kivreim. Why should the Anshei Asharon not? How about no one should have bateim kivreim, that their houses shouldn't become their kever? But over here, you understand that the Anshei Asharon, their homes were so flimsy, they were falling apart, needed to be rebuilt twice every 7 years. So you're daven that they're shloim bateim kivreim. I said, okay, that's obviously MS. That's obviously what it means. So someone must say it. So in the Masifta is amazing. So in the back of the Masifta, he quotes Yerushalmi in a footnote that says that's what the Kohen Gadol would say about the Anshei Asharon, because their houses are very flimsy. So Ve'elu Shein Zazmim Kamin Zazmim Kam Banabayis Chadosh V'Chanacho. So we go through the list of people that do not move. They stay. They don't have to go out to help in the war effort at all. If you built the bayis and you're mechanich the bayis and you're still in the first year, you're Ma'arisisha Uluk. So the Gemara says, "Tanu Rabbanan Isha Chadasha, say Einli Ella Isha Chadasha." I would only know an Isha Chadasha, meaning a woman who's never been married before. Almana Grusha Minayin. How do I know that if you marry an Almana Grusha, you also are Yotzim Luchama Tamalomer Isha Mikol Makom? Because it says Isha. Imkei Matamalomer Isha Chadasha. Why does it say Isha Chadasha? Isha Chadasha Lo Yotzim Aksu Grusha So Shein Chadasha Lo. To tell me that she has to be new to you, but if you've been married to that very same woman before, and then you're Maksu Grusha, so then you're not exempt from war in the Shana Rishona. You do have to go out to war. This has nothing to do with violating any Yisr, right? This isn't about being Maksu Grusha So Beisr after she's been married to somebody else. It's just a technicality that she's not Chadasha Lo. So Yachu Batzava with the Loyetze. You might think Loyetze Batzava means only to Melchama. Avul Yasuk my Muslim Yisak and Edrachim. But you should still have to participate in providing, working in the kitchen on the base, and preparing and working in the construction of the roads. So Tamalomer v'lo yavar alav l'chol davar. So Yachu Shanimar ba'afa bonabayis v'lo chanacho natakerim v'lo chilo eris isha v'lo l'kacha. I might think that even those people shouldn't have to help in any which way? Tamalomar, a love. That's why it says v'lo yavar a love. That a love iatamavir. That someone who already was kones the isha, someone who already was mechanich the bayis, someone who was already mechalel the kerem, he doesn't have to go and help in any of the war efforts. Avlatamavir alacherim. But there are others that do have to, and that is the people who are not kanso. We're not chanocha. We're not chilulo. Umeachar the kasev lo yavar lo yetsa betzava lamali. Once it says lo yavar, why do I need lo yetsa betzava? Lavar lo bishnei lavin to tell me that someone who was konis as ishto, if he goes out to fight a war, he's in violation of two los assays of lo yetsa betzava and lo yavar lo lechol davar. Good new mishnah at the bottom of the page. So v'yasra shotim l'dabar ela ab. Now the show to move on to the third part of the speech. Remember, the first part of the speech was said by the Mishloach Melchama and amplified by the Mishloach Melchama. The second part of the speech was said by the Mishloach Melchama but amplified by the Shotrim. So now we get to the Shotrim's own speaking part. So they speak and then Rabbi and they say, who's the Isha Yari Vrachalevov, etc. So Rabbi Kiva Omer, what does it mean, Yari Vrachalevov? Hayari Vrachalevov, Kimashmao. It means that he's a faint hearted person. Sheni Yachalamad, Bekishriya Melchama. He doesn't have the heart of a warrior. Viliros Cherev Shalufa, he's going to see a sword and he's going to panic. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Hayari Vrach Alevav, Zah Misyari Min Averos Shabiyadah. That Yari Vrach Alev means someone who has Averos Shabiyadah. Ben Yadah says, Itafka says Averos Shabiyadah, because here who Averos, you don't have to be so afraid to come back. But it's Averos Shabiyadah means a Maisa Avera, that's Biyadah. Lefichach, and therefore, Tosla Torah, Kal Elu, the Torah gives all these other excuses to not fight a war, that you can go back and you don't have to be embarrassed. Someone who's Yari min Aver Shabiyadah, because if you were to only get up and say, whoever has Aver Shabiyadah should return from war, then everyone's going to be embarrassed to admit that they have Aver Shabiyadah. So they say all these other things. You know, if you built a house, you plant a vineyard. So a guy who's afraid of Averos will say, yeah, my vineyard is needs tending or whatever. So he'll always have that excuse that this is the exemptions from war. They say that the maskilim in Valashin, I think it was, they ran a Purim play or something, or maybe it was in the yeshiva in Valashin that they did a Purim spiel or something where they reenacted the whole Mashuach Melchama speech, and they had a whole thing where they said and a few people walk off the stage, and Sharbanabais, a few people walked off the stage, and they go through the whole thing, and Avera Shabiyado, and everyone walks off the stage except for the Netziv and Reb Chaim Brisker, the only ones left on the stage. So that was the joke, that these two, Shvach HaTalmid HaChacham are going to win the whole Muhammad. So Reb Chaim got up and he said, the next chapter is we win the Muhammad, because you're going with the Koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning all of this makes no sense from a military logistics perspective. The people who do Averos are very often, aggressive people. They might be good soldiers, but that's not the soldiers that a Jewish army needs. The Jewish army needs soldiers that are going with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that relates back to the other speech, that they go with the power of Goliath. We go with the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Almanu L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza, L'Kohen Hedyot, Mamzeresim, Sinu Yisrael, Basol, Mamzul Nasin, Harei Hu HaYari V'Rach Alev. Yari V'Rach Alev doesn't mean any Avera. It means these particular Averos, these forbidden marriages. That's who's Yari V'Rach Alevav. So they would have the officers in the front, and in the back, they would put other people, watchmen, guardsmen in the back, and other people behind them, and they had these spears, these like arrows in their hands, and anyone who wanted to flee from the battlefield, they had the right to stab them in the legs to make them sure that they don't run away. Because when you run away, you have it. In Siv points on Ramasada, you have a din of a rodef, because it weakens everybody and it weakens the whole army. So anyone who's gonna desert the army is a rodef. So they're allowed to take the law into their own hands and they're allowed to stab these people. Shetchilas nisa nefila, the beginning of failure in wars when people abandon. So when do we say that all these asharos that are said in this parak of who goes back Mirchem Melchama and who doesn't go even leave his house at all, that's all the Melchamas Horoshos. You have all these exemptions from Melchamas Horoshos. Of Melchamas Mitzvah, Hakol Yotzin, Afilu Chatzon Mechedro, V'Kalam Chupasa, but for Melchemes Mitzvah, everybody gets drafted, no matter what you're doing in life. It's not, you know, you don't get those like jury duty exemptions, you know, where I'm getting married, I'm going on vacation, I'm this. No, everybody's got to go for Melchemes Mitzvah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'med var mamurim b'melchemes Mitzvah. Melchemes Chova, hakol yotzen afil chasim yichadra v'kalim v'chubasa. He says it differently, that all this whole parak was about Melchemes Mitzvah, but Melchemes Chova, everybody has to go out to. So says Mar Maika ben Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What was the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Aglili as far as the exemptions from war? They both said Yariv Rachalevav relates to Averos, but then Rabbi Yossi said, not all Averos, only Alman al-Kohen Gadol, Grush v'chutz al-Kohen Eder. So what's he limiting it to? Only marriage Averos? So no, Ikabir Aver Drabanan. What he's limiting it to was only Averos Daraisa. He held that for Averos Midrabanan, you don't get out, you don't get exempt from war for violating an Aver Midrabanan. Kemana, Zlad Tanya, who does the following Braisa assume, like Sach Ben Tfilah Tfilah, Aver Ribiyad of Chazal Amerach Ramachama, that if a person speaks between Tfilah and Shabiyad and Tfilah and Shal Rosh, that's enough of an Aver Shabiyad that he's Choser from. So Kemana, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that assumes like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that even Averos Midrabanan would be Choser Amerach Ramachama. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, you would not be Choser since it's not an Aver Midar Raisa to be Sach Ben Tfilah Tfilah, to speak between Tfilin Shal Yad and Tfilin Shal Rosh. The Rush writes in Hilchos Tfilin that the reason you're chozer on this Me'orcha Melchama on Davka Sach Ben Tfilah Tfilah is because the zchus of the kiyum of Mitzvah Sanachas Tfilin Al Yad Val Rosh is how the pasuk that guarantees V'tar Zra Avkat Kod is going to be fulfilled for the Anche Melchama, that it's Davka Skula for war, right? That V'ro Kalam Eretz V'yaru Mimeka Elut Tfilin Shabarosh, that when the other nations see us and they fear us, it has an intimidation factor, and it has the zchus of Tfilin specifically is going to be able to help us in war. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, anyone violates Nisid Rabbanan is going to be chozer. Not only is that which has nitzachon b'melchama. So why does the Tafka pick this mitzvah? Meaning, not like the Rush said, the Be'er Sheva points out that Rabbi Yossi Aglili sounds like any avera midrabbanan. So the chor is because there's a chiddush over here, that the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh are two separate mitzvahs, and they're not one is not ma'akev the other. And still, if you're sach b'neiyam, you're chozer. It seems like a very minor infraction, like not even a regular derabanan, because you're talking between one mitzvah and another mitzvah. So man tana la'adu tana rabbanan, who is the author of the following braisa? Shama kol kronos, if you hear the sound that the enemies are making when they're tokeya their chatzotzos, virtia, and that frightens you. Hagavas trisin, you hear them banging their shields, virtia, and that frightens you. Tzichtzua charavos, you hear them sharpening their swords. Umayim shosna al birkav, and then and you feel urine running down your leg. Chozer, then you go back. Me'orcha melchama. Kiman, who assumes that such people go back? Lema, Rabbi Akiva. That seems to be like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that yarei v'rachalevav means a person who's actually terrified. Velo Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but not Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who said Yariv Rachalev means that the person has done some sort of avera. So says Marno, Baha, if a person is actually so terrified, I feel Rabbi Yossi Aglili mode, Rabbi Yossi Aglili will also say he's Chozer Me'orcha Melchama. Rabbi Yossi Aglili just added that it's also avera Shabiyadu Mishum Duchsiv, Velo Yimah says Levavachiv Kil Vavau, that if you're going to have someone who's terrified the whole time, so he's going to have a negative impact on his comrades and his other soldiers, and that would be a very terrible thing. So then we said the Shotim finished speaking. So we said that you're allowed to, that there are people in the back that were allowed to stab in the legs those who were deserting. So we said because Tchilas Nisa Nefila, the beginning of running away is failure, is falling in war. No, Tchilas Nefila Nisa Mibayle, that's backwards. It should have said that the beginning of the downfall comes with deserting. So Tchilas Nefila Nisa, that's the order that it should have been said in. So all of this is only for Melchamas Roshos. We said, but for Melchamas Mitzvah, you're Yotzin, and everybody's Yotzin. And then Rabbi Yehuda said, no, this whole parak was about Melchamas Mitzvah. Melchamas Chova, even the Chasin Mechedro and Kalam Mechupasa. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Roshos, the Rabban, and Zui Mitzvah, the Rabbi Yehuda. Mitzvah, the Rabban, and Zui Chova, the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban are not disagreeing over here. It's just a matter of what they label as what. What the Rabban call a Milchemes Rishus, Rabbi Yehuda calls a Milchemes Mitzvah. What the Rabbanan call a Milchemes Mitzvah, Rabbi Yehuda calls a Milchemes Chova. So it's just a matter of how to formulate the words, how to identify the different types of Milchama. Amar Ravah, Milchemes Yehoshua Lichbosh, when it comes to Milchama of Yehoshua, to be Kovish Eretz Kanan, Divrei HaKol Chova. Everyone holds that that's a Milchemes Chova, and everyone's got to go out to war. Milchemes Beis David, L'Ravacha, the wars that David HaMelech fought in order to expand the borders of Eretz Yisrael, Divrei HaKol Rishus. Everyone agrees that all of the exemptions of our Perek apply to that. Ki Pligi, there is a Machlokas Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, and that's a Milchama that's in between. L'mutei Ovdei Chavim D'lo Leisei Alayhu, to generally weaken our neighbors so that they don't attack us. Mar Kari La Mitzvah, that Rabbi Yehuda refers to that as a mitzvah, but still they're Chozim Erecham Milchama. Umar Kari Rishus, and Tanakama refers to that as a Rishus in comparison to a Milchama's mitzvah, and Nafkamina La Oski Mitzvah Shpata Min Mitzvah. Nafkamina, whether you call that a mitzvah Rishus, is with regard to the din of Oski Mitzvah Pater Min Mitzvah, because if you're Oski in any mitzvah, you're Pater from other mitzvahs that come up at that time. So the Tanakama holds that this Milchama doesn't Pater you from other mitzvahs, and therefore he calls it a Milchama's Rishus. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda calls this Milchama Milchama's Mitzvah to tell me that if you're doing this, then you are in fact Pater from other mitzvahs. Hadron Lach Meshoch Milchama Bezrim. Tomorrow we will pick up with the new and final parak, Egla Arufa. Have a good day and a great Shabbos, everybody.
A good Shabbos.